Here's your fair value brief for Sunday, August 9th, 2026. This week, one number moved everything: jobs. The July report showed a loss of 23,000 jobs, far below the 80,000 gain expected, and suddenly, the Fed's higher-for-longer stance looked shakier. Markets reacted fast. Gold jumped 8.7%, silver surged over 10%, and stocks hit new highs. Even oil, usually sensitive to geopolitical drama, fell 7.3% as Iran blocked the Strait of Hormuz, because traders were too focused on the chance of rate cuts. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped to 4.47%, and just like that, the risk-free rate pulled everything else along with it. Now, to the markets. This was the week the Fed's tightrope started to wobble. The jobs report wasn't just weak. It was the kind of week that makes you question whether the economy's slowing faster than policymakers can handle. Gold and silver rallied like a recession was already here. Stocks climbed on hopes of a soft landing. And oil. It ignored Iran's blockade entirely, because when the risk-free rate falls, geopolitics takes a back seat. Everything from mortgages to crypto gets a lift. And this week, the lift was real. Let's start with stocks. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow all closed at records, up 3.6%, 5.2%, and 3.2%, respectively. But the real action was under the hood, where AI infrastructure stocks stole the show. Here's why. No matter what the Fed does, the race for compute power isn't slowing down. Amazon just raised its 2026 AI spending target to $220 billion. That's $20 billion more than it forecast in February. SpaceX. They're pouring in $15.8 billion, which, for context, is about what AMD's entire company was worth back in 2020. NVIDIA surged 11.6%, Broadcom climbed 9.1%, and earnings reports confirmed what we already knew. Hyperscalers are still in a spending frenzy. It wasn't just the usual suspects, though. Airbnb shot up 17.5% after crushing earnings. Palantir jumped nearly 40% on AI government contracts. Even Tesla, which has had a rough year, bounced back 5.6%. And the VIX? It fell to 14.9, its lowest since June. Translation: investors aren't just optimistic, they're downright calm. Here's the takeaway. AI capex is the new oil field. A century ago, the economy ran on energy infrastructure. Today, it runs on chips, data centers, and the companies building them. And right now, that's where the money's flowing. Now, to commodities, where gold and silver made their biggest move in months. Gold surged 8.7% to $4,400 an ounce. Silver climbed 10.3% to $6,350. Why? That jobs report. A loss of 23,000 jobs, wage growth slowing to 3.2%. Suddenly, the Fed's resolve to keep rates high looked a lot less certain. Markets started pricing in cuts, and precious metals rallied like it was March all over again. Oil, on the other hand, had a weird week. Brent crude dropped 7.3% to $83.55 a barrel, its worst week since June, even as Iran blocked the Strait of Hormuz. You'd think that'd send prices skyrocketing, right? Not this time. Two things mattered more. First, traders bet Iran and Oman would reopen the strait soon. Second, OPEC Plus announced they'd add 188,000 barrels per day in September. More supply, less panic. Then there's copper, up 2.4% to $6.59 per pound. It didn't move much, and that's the story. Traders are stuck between hoping for Chinese stimulus and worrying about a global slowdown. For now, they're waiting for a clearer signal. Over to bonds and the dollar, where the same story played out from two different angles. The risk-free rate is falling, and markets are adjusting fast. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped to 4.47%, down from 4.69 just a week ago. The 2-year yield fell to 4% flat. That narrowed the spread between the two to just 0.47%, its tightest since February. Bonds are rallying, but cautiously. Traders aren't just betting on cuts, they're starting to expect them. The dollar? It dipped 0.4% on those rate cut hopes, but it's still near yearly highs, 157.75 against the yen, 1.156 against the euro. Here's how it works. When the risk-free rate falls, the dollar weakens, stocks rise, and non-yielding assets like gold get a boost. This week was a textbook example. Now, crypto didn't make big price moves. Bitcoin inched up 1.2% to 64,832. Ethereum climbed 2.8% to 1,920, but the real shift was under the surface. Tokenized real-world assets, things like treasuries and gold on the blockchain, hit $7.4 billion. That's triple what it was a year ago, even as DeFi deposits fell. Here's what's happening. Institutions aren't using blockchains to replace traditional finance. They're using them to upgrade it. Tokenizing treasuries, for example, means 24/7 trading with instant settlement, something the old system can't touch. It's not a revolution. It's an evolution. Here's what to watch this week. The big question, has the Fed's inflation fight finally turned a corner? We'll get a major clue on Tuesday with July's CPI report, after 18 months of tightening. This is the moment to see if all those rate hikes are actually working, or if the economy's cooling too fast for the Fed to handle. Here's why this report matters more than usual. First, the jobs data already raised red flags. Payrolls dropped 23,000. Wage growth slowed to 3.2%. If CPI also cools, especially core CPI, the Fed's higher-for-longer stance starts to look shaky. Second, bonds have already reacted. The 10-year yield fell to 4.47%, its lowest since February, as traders bet on a September cut. Third, gasoline could swing the number. U.S. refinery use slipped to 96.5%, while gasoline stocks dropped 1.6 million barrels. That imbalance could push pump prices up by about 20 cents a gallon, which would lift headline CPI. Here's what economists expect. Core CPI is forecast to rise 0.2% month over month. That's down from 0.3% in June and 2.5% year over year. Headline CPI, 0.1% month over month, after June's drop of 0.4% and 3.4% year over year. Now, how might markets react? If CPI meets or beats expectations, meaning inflation cools, stocks rise, bonds rally, and the dollar weakens, Fed cuts become almost a sure thing. But if CPI surprises to the upside, if inflation's stickier than we thought, stocks dip, yields climb, and the Fed hawks regain control. Here's the bigger picture. This isn't about one report. It's about whether 525 basis points of hikes since March 2022 have finally done their job. Now here's the week ahead. Tuesday, August 11th. The U.S. CPI report drops. Core CPI is expected at plus 0.2% month over month, plus 2.5% year over year. Headline CPI, plus 0.1% month over month, plus 3.4% year over year. This number influences everything: mortgage rates, savings yields, your retirement account. Also on Tuesday, Australia's Reserve Bank meets. Rates are likely to stay at 4.35%, but traders will be listening for any hints of future cuts. Wednesday, August 12th. U.S. PPI for July. Producer prices are forecast to rise 0.2% month over month after dropping 0.3% in June. Why watch this? Because PPI feeds into CPI. If factory costs rise, consumer prices often follow. Thursday, August 13th. The UK reports second quarter GDP. It's expected to shrink 0.1% quarter over quarter. That would mark a second straight decline, which, by definition, is a recession. If the numbers are weak, the Bank of England might feel more pressure to cut rates. Friday, August 14th. U.S. retail sales for July. Forecast to rise 0.4% month over month, rebounding from June's 0.2% decline. Remember, consumer spending drives 70% of U.S. GDP. If shoppers pull back, the economy feels it fast. Now, worth learning today, the risk-free rate is gravity. Last week, we asked, would Canada's employment change surprise to the upside or downside? The actual number? A loss of 12,200 jobs, way below the 17,800 gain expected. The reaction? The Canadian dollar weakened, and mortgage rates ticked up as traders bet the Bank of Canada would hold rates steady. Here's why. Weak jobs data reduces pressure to hike, but it also signals economic softness, which can keep rates higher for longer to avoid making things worse. Here's the key idea. One number moves all markets. That number is the risk-free rate, the yield on U.S. Treasuries. It's financial gravity. When it shifts, everything else follows. This week's case study. The 10-year Treasury yield fell to 4.47% after that week jobs report. That drop lifted stocks, because lower yields mean higher valuations for future earnings. It weakened the dollar. Lower rates reduced demand for U.S. dollars. It pushed gold higher. Non-yielding assets gain when rates fall. And it lowered mortgage rates. The 30-year fixed is now at 6.69%, and it tracks the 10-year Treasury. Here's how it works. The risk-free rate is the return you get for lending to the U.S. government, assumed to be default-free. Every other investment is priced as risk-free rate plus a risk premium. Stocks? Riskier than bonds, so they demand higher returns. When the risk-free rate rises, it lifts everything: mortgages, car loans, credit cards. When it falls, the opposite happens. The current debate is: this week's drop in the risk-free rate a temporary dip or the start of a broader decline? Tuesday's CPI will give us a big clue. And that's your brief. See you tomorrow.